We turn now to a criminal case that came to be known as the Trial of the Century in the US. It involved a prominent diplomat named Alger Hiss and a sensational charge of espionage which shook the nation. It took place 70 years ago in one of the first major incidents of the period's communist Red Scare, also known as the McCarthy era. In New York City, Colin Flynn spoke to Alger Hiss's son, Tony Hiss, about his memories of this notorious Cold War case and his continuing faith in his father's innocence.
I'm Tony Hiss, and this is the apartment I grew up in a building that's about 100 years old. I was born in Washington, D.C., but my parents moved up here in 1947 when I was six.
Tony's mother was an English middle school teacher, and his father was a high-ranking government official working closely with President Roosevelt.
Well, he was a very glamorous figure. When I was a boy, he'd been in the State Department, someone who came to Washington in the 30s to help President Roosevelt pull the country out of the Depression.
Young, good-looking, charming, and Harvard-educated, Alger Hiss was the icon of the liberal establishment. He was the golden boy, and his political stock was on the rise. He was even tipped to be a future Secretary of State.
They put him in the State Department, and he helped found the United Nations. I think that was the thing he was most proud of.
It was the mid-1940s, and the United States and Russia were locked in a Cold War. Paranoia and fear was in the air.
There was tremendous fear that there were people you could look at and not know what they were thinking, but they might be thinking evil thoughts and be out to get you.
And the evil thoughts were the communist thoughts.
At this point, tremendous fear. The worst of it was thinking that the Americans would betray each other.
It was the summer of 1948 when Alger Hiss became a household name almost overnight, but not for the reasons he would have wanted. A man called Whittaker Chambers appeared before the House Un-American Activities Committee. Chambers was a self-confessed ex-communist spy who claimed he had collaborated with top government officials in the 30s to obtain highly classified US documents to be sent to Moscow. And when listing the people who cooperated with him, he pointed the finger to Alger Hiss.
The head of the underground group at the time I knew it was Nathan Witt, as was Alger Hiss.
That's when his troubles started.
Well, they actually began on my 7th birthday. That I remember clearly. That was the day he chose to go to Washington instead of coming to my birthday party, I remembered that, to deny charges that he had been a communist.
Chambers had an impressive past himself and was the editor of Time magazine, and he was adamant that Alger Hiss had been a communist.
Mr. Hiss represents the concealed enemy.
Hiss and his attorney vigorously denied the charge, claiming that Chambers was no more than a fantasist and a downright liar.
The charges made are false and fantastic. I can only conclude that he is a neurotic liar.
It had to do basically with whether you believe this strange man who was telling the story or whether you believe my father.
The case was sensational front page news, and the public were gripped. The accusations against Alger Hiss gained even more momentum when a young but ambitious congressman started to weigh in.
He was pursued by an intense young California congressman no one had ever heard of, named Richard M. Nixon.
Richard Nixon held a press conference and, in front of a swarm of television cameras and news reporters, showed for the first time what he believed to be proof that Hiss was guilty.
I am holding in my hand a microfilm of very highly confidential secret State Department documents. These documents were fed out of the State Department by communists who were employees of that department.
It all came down to copies of classified documents, which Chambers claimed Alger Hiss had provided to him after his wife had typed them up at home on their typewriter.
What really kept me sane, calm, was my half-brother Tim Hobson, who's 15 years older than I am.
Tony was around 10 years of age, so hadn't yet been born when these events were meant to have taken place, but he had a brother who was older and kept reassuring him that there was no truth to any of it.
Tony, don't worry about what they're saying, because I know that man Chambers never came to the house. I know Dad didn't bring home documents. I know for sure Mom didn't type them.
When it went to court, investigators claimed they had successfully matched the font on the printed documents to the keys on the typewriter which was in the Hiss home. It was the nail in the coffin for Alger Hiss, and he was sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Hiss, now handcuffed to a mail thief, Alger Hiss, one-time high government official, will lose all civil rights after a year in prison.
Was it upsetting for you to see your dad in prison?
It was, again, something that it was very hard to compute. Also, in an odd way, he and I had gotten somewhat closer while he was inside. Before, he'd been the glamorous Mr. Hiss and was always running around to meetings nationally or internationally. Now he had to stay in one place, and he could write home 3 letters a week. He wrote to my mother in script, but he was always print out special passages for me. And he would come up with little tricks. He would say, if I go outside tonight and I see the moon, I'm going to think maybe you're outside looking at the moon and something we can do together, even though there's hundreds of miles between us. And still, when I look up and see the moon, I get a bit of a thrill.
In Tony's apartment, delicately placed on the table, is that famous typewriter that sent his father to jail and stripped him of his status.
Analysis on that machine done after the conviction began to show that it looked as though the typewriter had been tampered with. There's strange soldering on some of the keys. That was considered a ludicrous allegation at the time, forgery by typewriter, and it was not known until decades later that, in fact, during World War II, the British had perfected the art of typewriter duplication.
Over the years, and as you've grown and matured and read more and more about the story and talked to more people, has your belief ever wavered that your dad is innocent?
Well, I know I would love him if it came out that he had done these things he was accused of doing, but I've seen no reason to doubt him. And as I say, my brother's always been steadfast in saying, I was there, Chambers was not. You either believe me or you believe him.
A little shy of his 5-year sentence, Alger was released from jail. The press crowded around the gates of the prison as he walked out, a free man once again.
Alger Hiss, accompanied by his wife, son, and lawyers, leaves the federal penitentiary at Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. An army of newsmen records the postscript of the dramatic case that exploded in this congressional hearing room 6 years ago.
The prisoners all stood at the windows and cheered as he left. So sometimes the people least likely you think of as the people who can see what's real are the people who have the clearest eyesight.
I shall renew my efforts to dispel the deception that has been foisted on the American people.
He spent much of the rest of his life trying to show that this was an unjust conviction.
I have nothing more to say at this time.
Do you miss your dad still today?
Well, sure. He had a long life. I think he had a happy life. He was always convinced that someday the truth would come to light. And later in life, he would say, well, if it doesn't happen in my time, it'll happen in your time.
Well, Tony, it was great chatting to you, and thank you so much for sharing your dad's story with me.
Colm, a great pleasure meeting you. Thanks for coming over.
Were you ever a communist spy, Mr. Hiss?
No, I was not. Neither a communist nor a spy.
Colm Flynn was reporting there from New York. He was speaking to Tony Hiss about his father, Alger Hiss, who was accused of being a Soviet spy in 1948. And Tony Hiss is a writer and the author of many books, including the 1999 volume, The View from Alger's Window, A Son's Memoir. That's published by Vintage.